When I look at the moon and the stars in the sky, I can see the hand of the Father. In the valley so deep and the river so wide, I can see the hand of the Father.
I can see the hand.
When I look around me,
I can hear the voice
blowing in the wind. I can feel the mighty touch of the Father's love.
Everywhere
I go, His presence surrounds me. I can see the hand, I can hear the voice, I can feel the touch of God. In the music of birds and the rustle of leaves, I can hear the voice of the Father. In the thundering rain and the whispering breeze, I can hear the voice of the Father.
I can see the hand.
When I look around me,
I can hear the voice
blowing in the wind. I can feel the mighty touch of the Father's love.
Everywhere
I go, His presence surrounds me. I can see the hand, I can hear the voice, I can feel the touch of God. On a warm summer's day, when the sun's shining bright, I can feel the touch of the Father. In the snow that falls on a cold winter's night, I can feel the touch of the Father.
I can see the hand.
When I look around me,
I can hear the voice
blowing in the wind. I can feel the mighty touch of the Father's love.
Everywhere
I go, His presence surrounds me. I can see the hand, I can hear the voice, I can feel the touch of God.
I can see the hand.
When I look around me,
I can hear the voice
blowing in the wind. I can feel the mighty touch of the Father's love.
Everywhere
I go, His presence surrounds me. I can see the hand, I can hear the voice, I can feel the touch.
I can
see the hand, hear the voice, I can feel the touch.
I can
see the hand, hear the voice, I can feel the touch.
I can
see the hand, hear the voice, I can feel the touch of God.
And I welcome you to the Word of Life. I'm glad that you've chosen to join us this morning. I hope you've got your Bible with you. Be opening to Mark chapter 1. We'll be there in just a moment. And the last few Sundays, we've been studying, as we have for some time now, about glimpses of Christ. That is, we've been looking into the gospel accounts of various items that happened in Christ's life. One of the things I want to emphasize is we're approaching now just about a month away from the new year. Hard to believe, isn't it? We talk about resolutions at that time, and I want to talk to you about something Jesus did that will make a good resolution for you. You'll remember probably the point of emphasis we made in studying Jesus' visit to the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, how Jesus, as was his custom, went to the synagogue and stood up to read. Let's understand that Jesus' reading of Scripture in that particular passage there, the passage from Isaiah, was a very prophetic statement. It was something that Jesus knew had to be said. That is, that he is fulfilling the Scripture about preaching the gospel to the poor, the downtrodden, and those that were oppressed. And we understand that Jesus was making a statement very particularly in that synagogue that day about what he would be doing for the next 3+ years. But what I want you to think about for just a moment as far as resolutions for the new year is to lay aside some things that people usually make resolutions about. Now, don't think that I'm going to let you get away with something here. I just want you to put your priorities where they need to be. When Jesus stood up to read in the synagogue, the Scripture said, as was his custom, would that give you the idea that that's the very first time that he ever picked up a scroll of Scripture and read? Would you get that idea from the incident that took place there in Luke 4? If you do get that idea, then I think probably you need to look at the text again. The point that Luke was making about Jesus in the synagogue that day was that it was the most normal and natural thing for Jesus, number one, to be there with the people of God involved in the worship and the study of God's Word, and number two, for his reading of Scripture, was also the most natural thing that Jesus could be doing. I doubt very seriously that that was the first time that Jesus ever read the Scripture. Now, all the way through the New Testament, there are points of emphasis made by different writers, by Paul, by James, by others who wrote New Testament books, John and others, Peter. There are points of emphasis made that deal with a regular diet of the revelation that God has given us. What about you? Now, in the congregation at Gentry, people will already know that I'm going to say this, but if you would just set as a resolution this year merely to read 3 chapters of the Bible every day, you could read through the entire Bible in a year. Now, you've heard of people doing that, and you've heard people talking about that, and you've probably been impressed that people would read through the Bible in a year. Did you realize that it was so easy? Now, I'm going to give you a little advice on this. Don't do it unless you're ready to change to what you read and what you see. I would advise you, if you're in a position where you can, to read out loud. In reading out loud, you're using your eyes, you're using your ears, you're using your mouth, and you're getting exposure to the Word of God that a lot of people don't get. You know, the one reason that people don't learn what's in this book is that they don't expose themselves to it. Now, this is not necessarily going to be an easy accomplishment, by the way. There are some passages of Scripture that you will read, perhaps in the Old Testament more than the New, that you'll say, what is the purpose of reading this? But I can attest to you from my own experience and from the experience of people that I've talked with over nearly 40 years of preaching, I can tell you that people benefit whether or not they realize it at the time. When you read the Word of God on a regular basis, what you do is you get used to listening to, used to understanding. Now, you'll read things that you don't understand. And you'll read things that, as we said, make you wonder why you're reading. But let's put this together in the context of what it is. The Bible itself was written over a period of more than 1,000 years, probably along the line of 1,500 years, by about 35 to 40 different people, depending on how you understand the authorship of some of the letters. These are mostly separate documents, brought together as authoritative books of revelation from God. And so what we have in the Bible is not just a unified statement, but the prophets, priests, kings, various ones that spoke, fishermen, carpenters, others, that spoke through this time and spoke one message from one God for all people. Now, think about it. You have a month. Prepare yourself. Get a Bible that's easy to read, one that you are used to, accustomed to, and just mark it out day by day. Now, if you have some days that you come across short chapters and you want to read 5 or 6 or 7 chapters, or maybe even 10. Some of the Psalms, for instance, have only 3 or 4 verses to them. And there are other places in the Bible where the chapters are relatively short. If you're able to read more, do that, because there are some chapters that have a lot of verses. The longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, has 176 verses. It would be hard to read the 176 verses plus 2 more chapters. In a single day. And yet, if you've read a few extra here and there, you have the leeway of doing that with just 1 chapter maybe that day. Read with a desire to understand. Read with a desire to learn what God has for you. For the last several years, I have made sure that I read the Bible through every year. I learned this from when I was a child. the first thing I would see in the morning when I got up every morning, not mornings once in a while, but every single morning, I would see my dad sitting at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee reading his Bible. And I have the old Bible that he read then, just about wore out. I don't know exactly how many times that he read through, but with the notes that he left in that Bible, I can be fully confident in saying that he read the entire Bible through about 40 to 45 times and read the New Testament several more times than that. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that a person learns. I understand that. To be exposed to something doesn't mean you learn. But let's think about this. How can you learn if you don't listen? How can you know if you don't read? This is a wondrous book, written, as we said, over a more than a millennia of time, and a message from God for you. I hope and pray that you'll take up on that this year and read that. Now, speaking of reading text, let's get into our lesson today, our study today. Here in Mark chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 40 and read through the end of Mark chapter 1 down to verse 45. We have a story here that you might have heard before, and if you haven't, you need to know. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. He sternly warned the man and immediately sent him away. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But the man went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Now, if you remember the events that we had studied before this in Mark chapter 1, you'll remember that there were already crowds around Jesus. Jesus had been speaking to crowds for some time. He had just said in verse 38 of Mark chapter 1 that he must go and be about preaching this message that he has. That is the message of Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, the gospel of God that the kingdom is nearing. Now, all the things that Jesus was teaching, the miracles that he was doing, were for a specific purpose. The teaching was to impart knowledge. The signs and wonders that Jesus did were to allow for the understanding that he spoke with authority. And that's what people were gaining from this. Now, all this was going on when this leper approached Jesus. What we're going to do this morning is try to look at Jesus through the eyes of this leper. And that's what we'll do in just a few moments after we take a break and listen to a song.
I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting, confiding,
trusting, confiding
in his great love.
In his great love,
from all harm safe,
from all harm safe,
in his sheltering arm,
his sheltering arm,
I'm living by faith,
I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm. Though tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife.
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting, confiding,
trusting, confiding in his great love,
yes, in his great love,
from all harm safe, safe in His sheltering arm.
His sheltering arm.
I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith.
And feel no alarm. From all harm safe.
From all harm safe
in His sheltering arm.
His sheltering arm.
I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith.
And feel no alarm.
Now, what we're seeing in Mark chapter 1 is the world through the eyes of an outcast. Lepers in the first century A.D. Were seen as the pariahs of society. They were ones that nobody should be around, nobody should have anything to do with. Now, that has a history, a beginning, and a statement made in the Old Law, in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy both. It is very clear that leprosy is a very contagious disease, very dangerous. And essentially what God did in the law was to allow for quarantine of this person, quarantine of the house that they lived in, the items that they'd used in the house, and all various things like this. It wound up that by the time of Jesus, if you had leprosy, that if you saw somebody approaching you, you had to cover your lip and holler out, "Unclean, unclean," which means that this man had probably not had a lot of contact with people. Now, the interesting thing about that is that here is this leper approaching Jesus, and if you remember, we just looked at the fact that vast crowds of people were coming around Jesus, large crowds of people that kept him busy all day long. If this leper approached Jesus, he was taking a risk. He was approaching Jesus as one who had been rejected from society because of the disease that he had. Now, there are parallels to that all the way through history. I won't go into the parallels. I just want to deal with this man. What was there that he saw in Jesus that made him come that day? Well, we can figure that out real easily from the statement that the leper made. Now, look at what he says as he comes up in verse 40 and falls down before Jesus. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." It looks to me like the leper didn't have any doubt at all that Jesus had the ability to make him well. The question was, would Jesus want to have anything to do with him? You know, it's a struggle in rejection that you seek acceptance by other people. That's why we see sometimes very sad stories in our society of someone that feels rejected, feels on the outside, and they will do anything to be accepted. Maybe they'll commit a crime to be accepted, or maybe they'll sexually give their body to somebody else just because they think that that will gain them the acceptance that they're after. But you see, the man approaching Jesus, he was in the position of being an outcast on the outside. And his wonder, his doubt, was not about the ability of Jesus to heal him, but the willingness of Jesus to heal him. Would that hint, perhaps, at the fact that if he had approached a doctor before with the leprosy that he was carrying in his body, that perhaps the doctor rejected him? Perhaps his parents had rejected him, his friends, the rest of his family, the society in general. Does this mean that this man approached Jesus with the mindset that there's every chance in the world that you won't want to heal me, but I want to be healed? Well, let's look at what happened that day. Jesus very often gave people what they needed more than what they wanted. He wanted to be healed, but he needed to be touched, if you will. Look at verse 41. Moved with compassion. If you ever thought that Jesus didn't do miracles because of compassion, surely compassion was involved. Not as a purpose, but the heart of Jesus had that compassion in it, moved with compassion. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. If this man had been a leper for some time, and if he had been doing what the law said he had to do, the only other people that would have touched him would have been lepers, those that were also rejects. You've heard in history, perhaps, of leper colonies, various ugly thoughts like that. Maybe that's all the touch this man had had. But here's one who claims to be the Son of God, God in flesh. One who has cast out demons. One who has healed the sick. Who has preached the gospel of the kingdom about setting free those who are downtrodden, taking the outcast and helping them to be accepted. Jesus reaches out and touches him and speaks, "I am willing, be cleansed." Now notice that Jesus answered in the same order that the man made his statement. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Now what Jesus gave to him was something that he didn't have before, on two accounts. And we've talked about this, so this shouldn't surprise you. Number one, he gave him acceptance. The touch of Jesus' hand was not necessary here. You understand that, right? Jesus could have kept the man at a distance and pronounced him clean, and he would have been just as clean. But you see, Jesus understood, as we said, that this man didn't just need to be healed physically. He needed the touch, so to speak, of the Master's hand. What we have here, then, is a Jesus very well aware of the needs of those around him and very well able to meet those needs. Verse 42 tells us something very interesting about the leprosy, and can you imagine what this must have been like for this man? Verse 42 just says these words, "Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." 9 words that made all the difference in the world in that man's life. However the leprosy left him, whether it just disappeared and his flesh was restored, he was made well. Leprosy is a very disturbing disease. It destroys the flesh, destroys the nerves. You become unable to feel, unable to have sensation. Everything that the man had lost was returned immediately. Notice that. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You know, the statement of Jesus to the man and Mark's recording of what happened are very few words in total, but they are very important for us today. In this glimpse of Christ so far, what would we see? That a person rejected by many would not be rejected by Christ. Jesus did not leave the man tainted with the evil that was upon him. We learn the lesson that Jesus doesn't just say to us, "Come to me as you are, stay as you are, I'll love you anyway." That's not what Jesus says. In fact, if you back up in this chapter, back in chapter 1 to verse 17, you'll see and remember a lesson that we studied some time ago. When Jesus spoke to Simon and various ones that were gathered there, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, by the sea, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." You remember how we talked about that Jesus has that power to make one become. That's what he did for this leper, and that's what he can do for us. Just a few moments, we'll say a few more words, and right now, a song.
Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his lifeblood shed for me? Why did he suffer as
as no man has ever done. There's just one reason, I am the one. He loves me, he loves me. Jesus loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Jesus loves me. When I'm sad, he loves me. Even when I'm bad, he loves me. When it seems no one cares for me, I talk to Jesus, he loves me. He loves me, he loves me. Jesus loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Jesus loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Jesus loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Jesus loves me.
Now, the interesting thing about the continuation of this story with Jesus is that he told the man to do exactly what the law said to do. Notice what we see in verse 43 and 44. Jesus spoke to the man, warned him, Mark says, and immediately sent him away. Now what he had said to him in sending him away is this: see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now in the book of Leviticus chapter 14, in the laws dealing with leprosy, the person that is cleansed of leprosy has certain sacrifices that they are to offer, a certain way they are to approach coming back into society. Jesus said, keep the law. But the interesting thing about this to me is that Jesus says in verse 44, see that you say nothing to anyone. You wouldn't be able to do that, would you? This man wasn't able to do it. How could you live your life in fellowship with everybody who had been away from you and not say something about Jesus? Well, the man couldn't do it. I wouldn't have been able to do it. Jesus had a very interesting take on things. And sometimes what he said, I don't understand completely. He didn't need to go about bragging about what had happened to him, but the man couldn't help but brag on Jesus. Perhaps that's a lesson that you and I need to learn, that it's not so much talking about how I have been delivered or what I have done, but maybe it's talking about the God who has helped. The God who, as we said before break, can make us to become. This man's life was changed that day. Jesus became crowded with people even to a greater degree. And this man probably never forgot that day that Jesus said, I am willing, be cleansed. You join us next week on The Word of Life. We'll continue our studies into glimpses of Christ in the Gospels. God bless you this week.